Welcome into Searching for San Antonio, part of the San Antonio Podcast Network. This series explores the Alamo City by showcasing small businesses, nonprofit organizations, and some of the wonderful people that make San Antonio what it is. Join in as we search for the true meaning of being a San Antonian. How's it going? This is Zachary Espericueta, one of your hosts here on the San Antonio Podcast Network. This week, both Erica and I will be sitting down with San Antonio City Councilwoman Phyllis Villagran. She is the council member for District 3, which covers the southeast and southeast side of San Antonio. This is the first episode on the San Antonio Podcast Network that we've actually had a city council member join us for an interview. Because of that, I wanted to provide some information from the city website for listeners who may not know. So real quick, there are 10 districts here in San Antonio and therefore 10 council members. They're voted in to city council by the public based on where your residence is located. Their terms are 2 years long, and they may serve up to 4 terms. If you're wondering who your council member is, you can always visit sanantonio.gov/council. The city council acts as the policy-making and legislative body within the city's government. Operating within the guidelines of the city charter, the city council appoints the city manager, municipal court judges, city clerk, city auditor, and members of the city's various boards and commissions. The city council meets weekly on Thursdays, except for the fourth week of every month. And Thursday A sessions begin at 9 a.m. and Wednesday B sessions are at 2 p.m. All A and B sessions are open to the public, and that's in accordance with the Texas Open Meetings Act. That said, council may meet in closed executive session for consultation concerning attorney-client matters, real estate, economic development, litigation, contracts, personal or security matters. Public comment is your opportunity to address your City of San Antonio elected officials directly about issues that are important to you and/or your community. Whether you comment online, which you can, address City Council virtually at a Wednesday public comment session, or speak on a specific agenda item at a Thursday morning A session, this is your opportunity to have your voice heard. Members of the public can sign up online to speak before the San Antonio City Council by visiting the Meetings and Agendas portal at saspeakup.com. If e-comment is available for a meeting, an e-comment link will be present. And here you'll be able to access the public comment page to review written comments submitted by others, create a profile to submit your own comments, and/or register to speak on an item. Written comments will be accepted from the time the agenda is posted right up until the meeting start time. Your comments will be distributed to the elected officials and will become part of the official written public record. Members of the public wishing to speak during the meeting must register 30 minutes prior to the posted meeting time. Individuals are given up to 3 minutes to speak, and any content that the public would like to present while they speak during City Council must be submitted a minimum of 24 hours prior to the meeting. I'm really excited to get to our interview with Phyllis, but before we do, I want to remind the listeners that this episode is brought to you by Live from the Southside. Live from the Southside is a Latina-owned online and print publication that helps residents and visitors find things to do on the south side of San Antonio and throughout Texas. Their goal is to improve and expand community relationships through providing positive stories, interesting people, and businesses in the community. You can visit their website at southsidesanantonio.com, which is also where you can order the Live from the Southside magazine. You can also order your copy of the magazine on Amazon or simply subscribe to their newsletter to receive your online edition. Lastly, you can follow them at SouthsideSATX on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Huge thank you, as always, to April Monterosa and Live from the Southside for supporting this podcast. Listeners, we're going to take a quick break, and in our next segment, we'll be joined by Councilwoman Phyllis Villagran. Hey guys, it's Zach. As some of you may know, I help people plan for retirement. And as your advisor, I can not only show you how money truly works, but put you in control of your money today and in retirement. If you're looking to schedule a financial review, please give me a call at 210-760-0409. Welcome back into Searching for San Antonio. Like I mentioned earlier, we'll be speaking with District 3 Councilwoman Phyllis Villagran. Phyllis was elected on June 15, 2021, and this is her first term. She serves as a member of the Economic and Workforce Development Committee, the Public Safety Committee, the Planning and Community Development Committee, the Community Environment and Culture Committee, and the San Antonio Housing Trust Public Facility Corporation. She's also on the board of directors for Visit San Antonio and the municipal court. Phyllis is a proud native of District 3, attended Providence High School, and earned her BA majoring in political science and history from Texas Tech University. She later earned her master's degree in bicultural studies from UTSA. Looking at some of her previous work, she worked for years in education as a teacher. Additionally, she worked with the San Antonio Police Department as a community service specialist, held two roles with Visit San Antonio as the destination services coordinator and membership sales coordinator. In June 2020, she began working for Older Adults Technology Services, or OATS, O-A-T-S, as a community outreach coordinator and trainer, where she was a champion for seniors and technology. Before serving on city council, Phyllis served on the Brooks Gives Back Board and the Rape Crisis Center Board. So without further ado, here is our interview with Councilwoman Phyllis Villagran. All right, Phyllis, well, welcome in to Searching for San Antonio. Erica and I are both happy to have you on. This is our first time we've ever had a council member on the podcast. We're so excited to have you on. How are you doing this morning?
I am doing well, trying to stay warm. I'm really excited to be here and share with you guys about local and small businesses and myself.
Well, I had a little quick question. And first off, I want you to kind of give the listeners an idea, give them a little introduction on yourself, a little bit about how you became council member for District 3. Aside from that, I'm also kind of curious on why you decided to run. You know, of course, your sister had it for, what, three different terms. If that was an easy decision for you, or if it was something where you're like, you know what, I need to keep the name going.
No, for me, really, it was the pandemic. I saw us getting through and trying to kind of triage through this pandemic with the city council and what we were doing. And I was most recently with the hospitality industry, and I wanted to play a part in that. So people have been asking me for a while if I was going to run after my sister, and that just really solidified it in terms of what a pandemic does and getting San Antonio back on track and making sure the residents of District 3 were heard. So that was my main motivating factor. And it was when we had the majority woman council, I just saw a lot of things get done and I wanted to be part of it. And kind of like, I'm like, we can get through this pandemic. And so that's why I ran. And I was very proud of my sister and everything she accomplished. And for the majority of her time, she was there for 8 years. It was prosperous. We economically were in a good place. San Antonio, the United States, was in a good place. But this pandemic has really amplified some of the inequities, and I wanted to be in a position where I could help get us out of this.
For our listeners, how long have you been a councilwoman? What district do you represent? What kind of area that is, and stuff like that.
So I was elected in June of last year. So it's been about, 7 months. I represent the south and the southeast side of San Antonio. We're right outside of downtown. It extends from right outside of downtown all the way towards Mission Del Lago, heading in that Toyota area and over by Brook City Base. So it's the largest geographic district in the city of San Antonio. The District 3 residents are resilient. They always have been. Our businesses, when they didn't get loans people weren't investing, they found a way. And so that the district just survives. We have old homes and old neighborhoods. We have new development. We have a portion of inner city urban core. So it's a variety. I'm super excited to represent them because they're a very active community with a very strong voice. So I like being there up there and helping them make sure that we don't get ignored and people understand just kind of what's going on in the southern sector of San Antonio.
I'm also curious to know, and sometimes this has to do with a small business, sometimes in an organization, but a lot of times it happens in business. In this case, it's kind of politically, but whenever there's like a family member, and in your case, a sister, a lot of times in business, it's like a child that kind of takes over, you know, the reins afterwards. But I always wonder, you know, when you're looking at yourself, do you kind of see, okay, well, my sister did it this way. Maybe like you intentionally want to be a little different, or maybe you intentionally want to be the same. Like, how is that, especially being that you took over in the same council district?
You know, I think it's been challenging. Everybody who knows us knows that we're very different. But in terms of goals and priorities for District 3, it's been the same, and to represent them and to get them what they need. The way we go about in doing them has been a different role. And as I mentioned before, my sister, who did so much for the district in terms of getting bond dollars and development and the World Heritage Site, it was just different. Coming in a pandemic, decisions have to, they're weighted more heavily, I think, because we're looking at how we're going to get the city competitive and move it forward with a whole nation kind of in crisis. So some days people are like, this is very similar to the track of your sister's. And some days I have people saying is like, your sister would have never done that. But I think in terms of the passion for our community, it's still the same.
I wanted to talk a little bit because when you were speaking about your district and, you know, how you want to represent the people and you're working hard for them, I also wanted to bring it back to you and what your passions are and what makes you so relatable. Like, what are you passionate about? How can we connect with you?
So I am passionate about moving people forward and getting people on kind of their best journey and making sure that they're kind of looking inward as well as outward and kind of finding that balance. So that's one thing I'm very passionate about. And I try and the people that I have closest to me. And then when I meet new people, I try and look for that. Service to my community has been something that was instilled in me in a young age. My sister and I both went to Catholic school where we were taught by nuns social justice. So it's about back, but giving back in the best way possible that helps meet the immediate needs of the city and of the district. And that's just the thing. When I see people connecting and working together and pieces coming together, that's why I'm so passionate about it. And I'm so excited about it. And fortunately in District 3, we have amazing people that organizations, nonprofits, businesses that just want to be encouraged to give back and to help others. So I'm really excited about representing the district.
And speaking about small business, I originally had noticed District 3 because they had posted on Twitter, and that, of course, therefore you, posted on Twitter a graphic about, you know, why we should shop local, you know, and so I was like, this is great. You know, this couldn't have been said better. Why is shopping local so important?
You know, it gives back to the economy. And I think it taps into something of the creativity and the industrious of our residents. And my family had a small business. It was a trophy shop that they ran for decades. We ran it for decades. So I know what it is to kind of to struggle and to have that opportunity of like, oh, well, we can just go online. But to really understand that when you shop local, you give back to the community. The dollars stay within the community. They're probably higher, that their employees are probably living in and around the area. And it also spurs on other people to have more ideas and to take risks. So that's why I'm so passionate about us continuing to support our local shops and to support local and understanding that, of course, that there's a balance. But if there's something local in your neighborhood, try that first before heading online or heading to the big box stores.
And I'm curious to know, just since you work with local government, I mean, what is it that you're doing or just as a whole that council members are doing or the city is doing, you know, to really help just kind of encourage to shop local and small businesses in general? Like, what is the city government doing or wanting to do?
So I think our city team is definitely trying to look at a marketing campaign and support any buy local that we did. We kind of pushed that during the Christmas break. Myself at city council, I went to our, there's a mission candle and I went there to buy the Christmas gifts for my city council people. So to make sure, and I think the city manager bought local too and gave us salsa. So we were like, okay, if we're going to give gifts, let's do local. The other thing is having conversations with organizations and the small businesses in the area. So I've been taking a lot of meetings to kind of understand how can we help locally at the city level, what can we do? And then how can we put items in our legislative agenda to make sure the state and the federal government is prioritizing our small businesses? And when I talk small business, I talk small business, micro business, the mom and pops. That when I say small business, that's what I'm talking about, because it's not the 100 employees or less. It is like 3 employees, 4 employees, a family-owned business where, you know, the cousin's answering the phone, taking the orders. So I think that's what we need to talk about too, is what we're actually talking about.
I know something else that you wanted to discuss on today's podcast, Phyllis, is ARPA. And so I know that's something you wanted to share that's upcoming this week, or something was upcoming this week that you wanted to share about that. So go ahead and tell the listeners a little bit about that.
We will be discussing at B session, and that's on Wednesdays at 2, the ARPA money that's coming down from the federal government and how we spend it. And one of the things we're looking at is, how do we help small businesses? And what we need is the residents and the small business owners of San Antonio to kind of get go online to our SA Speak app, send emails and say, this is the need I see. This is where we're lacking. And you can also show up to the meetings and speak and share what's been going on. There's going to be a lot of high concept ideas that might come. There's going to be national trends that'll be discussed. But what we need to hear from is the actual business owners, the small business owners, the micro business owners, the mom and pops, to come out and share what are your immediate needs. Because if not, we will only guess. And we have nonprofits working to talk to small business owners, and they're trying to get that information. But we also need to hear from residents too, that said, hey, because that local restaurant or this local shop was closed down during the pandemic, this is how it impacted me. And so we understand how we move forward and which businesses we need to help. Also, those who were unemployed are trying to get back into employment with their neighborhood and say, my local shop needs help so that they can pay me $12 an hour or $15 an hour or whatever it is, that we can make sure these businesses get back and get working, and that we're providing for our community.
How does one go to these meetings? Are they in person or are they virtual?
Yeah, you can go online to the city website. This B session will be in person. You can also leave at SA Speak Up. You can leave some comments and notes, and we get that from the dais at the B session. You can also, right now we have, if you come and you speak, you can get your parking validated so that you're not taking that expense of parking. And we have parking downtown. And right now with the with people still telecommuting, there is usually parking that you can find to talk and to share kind of just some public comment on that.
Aside from these sessions, for future reference for the listeners, how can residents get a hold of you or maybe one of your staff members if they have ideas or they have comments? How can they get a hold of you?
You can always reach out by email, or you can call the office and talk to one of my staff members, leave an email, and then we'll respond to you is always the best. But if you just want to call and leave your opinion, go onto the city website, see if there's any surveys that you can participate in, because this is an important part too of the process, because those surveys, we take all those results and they share them with the entire council. So that's the best way to communicate. A phone call, an email is the best way to communicate with us. And you can find all this information out on social media with our city COSA D3 website. And we're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and occasionally on TikTok. That's new for us.
You gotta try.
But So please, you know, reach out. But if there's something you want to share or an idea, it's best to do it via email or a phone call, not on the social media. The social media is there to find out how to communicate the message. And if you have something come up, there's always 311, and 311 will send you to the right department that you need to talk with if there's a problem you have in your neighborhood.
Well, and they have an app now too, right?
Yes, they do have an app. And one of my initiatives is trying to get kind of that digital literacy so we all know how to use the app. So I'm hoping that this year, with all the apps unrolling, I can find agencies that are like doing videos or do something that says, this is how you use the app. So that's what I'm hoping.
Oh, man.
Fun. Yeah. Especially.
I almost feel like I want to be a part of that, right? Zach, like, it'd be so cool if we could help you spread that word, because I didn't know about that. And I need a new trash can out front. And I'm like, hold up.
Yeah, no. And that's the thing, is that sometimes it's easier with the app. So if you guys want to help with that, I want to put out videos. I want to put out tutorials on how to use the 311 app and what's the best course of getting the things that you need, the new trash cans.
And that might be something.
And the debris picked up.
That might be something that we can do for the listeners and just for the residents in general of San Antonio, because I found that app helpful. I think I've used it about 4 or 5 times since they came out with the app. I think that was, I don't know, maybe 2017, 2018. Since then, they've made some updates to it, but there's been a number of times. I'll be honest, most of the time it's because like there was a stray pet, or there was one time where I saw that someone had left a dog in their car while it was hot outside. And those are just different things that you can actually go in and report that. And of course it has location services, so it marks where it is. It lets you know, it keeps you updated with how they're servicing it. So it's really helpful. But like you said, Phyllis, to your point, just kind of having that digital literacy might help the residents so they can start using that more, because I'm sure the city wants people to use that app more so, nowadays as we kind of shift into a more technological world. You know, as we kind of wind down the podcast, Phyllis, we kind of finish up the interview with a set of a few questions. But speaking of small business, because that's what we've kind of talked about the majority of time here, we're interested to know some of your favorite places around San Antonio. Yes. So it can be a restaurant, it could be a bar, maybe it's a date night, right? A hangout spot, maybe your favorite park to go exercise in. What are some of your favorite spots around San Antonio?
So, and I'll try and stick with District 3. So District 3 has a great spot called Tandem. It's like a coffee bar / regular bar, and they'll keep trucks. Yes. And there it's so fun. It's half outdoors, half indoors. If you go
on Roosevelt.
Yes. Right on Roosevelt. They do music under the bridge. Occasionally they're still trying to work that out, but they have this great acoustic under the bridge. And so they'll try and do musical performances there. It's just, if you ride your bike, it's a great place to stop. You can do coffee or beer. That's one of my favorite places. And they did host my my campaign watch party there. So it's a fun place. It's a great place to gather. People have had their birthday parties there.
Recently came out with food too.
Yeah. The great thing is, if you know the history of what it was, which is, you know, a very different kind of place before, and what they've turned it into, it's kind of speaks to who District 3 is and how we make the shift and pivot. And that's one of my favorite places. The other is Mission Craft Chandlery, which I mentioned is where I got the candles, because they do candles specific to Texas and the Mission area, and they're great gifts. For Mother's Day or for Christmas or whatever that you need a gift for, because it's a different type of candle, not the ones you get. So
I've definitely spoken about her before, because she is amazing. Yes. I mean, she literally has a chemistry background, and she has put that skill into these creations. I still have a candle that it just won't burn. It is the slowest burning. Everyone comes in, they think I have a coffee shop going, because it's one coffee smelling candle. She's amazing. I love her.
Yeah. So it's great. And then Roosevelt's working with like Lala's Gorditas. There's a new bike shop up in that area. So the Roosevelt is one of the places I like to hang out. Don Pedro's, of course. We have a Simply Mexican, which is a hat company that she sells online, that she'll paint the hats for Fiesta.
Oh,
And there's just tons of businesses in around our business corridors in District 3, including Pleasanton and Roosevelt and Commercial, that just provide all sorts of services. Those are some of my favorite places. In terms of outdoor places, Confluence Park is one of my favorite places. And so many small businesses have activated that with yoga and music, and they've used it for like market days. So that's one of my favorite places. And just being outdoors in and around the Mission Reach. And we have three actually kayak companies that work and want to work on that Mission Reach. And it's just it's a great time right now to be in the district and to be outdoors and to see activated spaces. So those are some of my favorite spots and kind of what I like to do and how I want to kind of get out. But it's been busy. So I haven't been able to get out like I've wanted to, because we've been so busy with city council.
Well, I second the tandem selection there. I think we have a mutual contact, April Monterosa. I've had her on the podcast a number of times. And we used to, our meeting place used to be Coficionado over on Mitchell when it was still open. But ever since it closed down, we've been meeting at Tandem whenever we meet. So I love there. I love their coffee. I haven't been there in the evening for like drinks or anything. Wow. But Tandem is such an awesome spot. And I think they've already transformed that location, but I'm really excited to see just how they continue to. And so like you mentioned, I mean, just that whole area in general, you can kind of see the transformation in real time. And so that's really awesome.
But so the one thing I want to say about Tandem is like leaving like your grandparents' house at a family gathering, and you know how you're in the house and you're like, okay, we're leaving, bye. And then you move to outdoors or to another room and like you're still there for another 30 minutes. Literally is Tandem. Like I'll be in there and I'm like, okay, I gotta go. And then I'm outdoors and I'm there for another 30 minutes where people are like, I thought you were leaving. Oh yeah, I was.
I really have to try it. You guys make it sound really exciting.
I suggest that if you haven't been, that you take a visit out there. And once the weather gets nicer, which is hopefully next week, to sit outdoors at too.
I want to make sure you kind of plug in any social media profiles that the listeners can go follow. Where can they follow you on social media? Where can they find you? And any upcoming events that you kind of want to plug in here? This is your floor.
Thank you. So there's most websites, you have two sides, and most politicians will tell you, you have the campaign side and the official city side. So you can find me on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. And if you just look for Phyllis Villagran, they'll come up with two choices. One will be the D3 city side and one will be the elect Phyllis side. So you can find me there. And most of the information on both sides is the same information. So one's just, tweeting the other or sharing from the other. So you can find me there. You can also find me at the city site, COSA.gov. You can go online there and just set, that's where you can send emails and do phone calls. But please go online, look for me under my name, Phyllis Villagran, and just like and follow, and you'll get a whole bunch of information about what's going on in the district. And as we start to move out of this spike, we'll be doing a lot more in person. And hopefully I'll hear from you guys and we can have you do a tutorial or a video on many apps that this.
Well, thank you again for joining us, Phyllis. Like I said, we're really excited to finally have a council member of San Antonio here on the podcast. We really enjoy getting to know you better, learning about just how passionate you are about shopping local and just the local community, especially on the south and southeast side of San Antonio. So we thank you for everything that you've already done in your short tenure. And we're looking forward to seeing all the positive things that you bring to D3. So thank you so much.
Thanks. And if you have a suggestion for me locally to shop local, to any of your listeners, please go on and share it with me online, because I'm always looking for new places to visit and new products that are out there. And then hopefully maybe we can do a shop local highlight on one of my social media.
Yeah, we would love to see that. That would be fantastic.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
That's going to do it for our interview with Councilwoman Phyllis Villagran and another episode of Searching for San Antonio. If you want to hear from other amazing people we've interviewed from around the Alamo City, please be sure to go through the Searching for San Antonio playlist. You can actually subscribe individually now to Searching for San Antonio if it's the interviews that you enjoy most. If you want to hear from Eric and I discuss all the local happenings, you can also check out our essay talk series. Or, as you know, you can always just stay subscribed to the San Antonio Podcast Network, and your feed will be filled with both Searching for San Antonio and SA Talk. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe to the podcast on your preferred listening platform. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, I also ask that you leave a rate and review if you haven't done so already. If you want to keep up with the show, please give us a follow on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. You can find us on all platforms at SA Pod Network. If you have questions about advertising or partnership opportunities, please reach out to me or Erica via email. It's just our first names at sapodnetwork.com. If you're a listener and want to support the show, visit our link in bio on any social media platform and click support monthly. Thanks again for listening, and Viva San Antonio.